We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
We're your drug.
Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be absolutely tickled and could also be absolutely annoyed. It can be frustrated. It could be enlightened. It can be joyous. It can be depressed. But at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet.
Hi.
Hi.
So today we're talking 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 7, Humpty Dumped Me. Humpty Dumped Me. Wow. We can only assume that this is talking about Human Thumb Ed. And that is so hilarious that TLC finally said the thing that many, many of people and memes have been saying. And it's like, shots fired, you know?
They've been sitting on this title for a long time and been waiting to use it. And they like, we're like, is this the time? And then like Matt Sharp would be like, no, not yet. We have a couple of seasons left in them, you know? And then, yeah, I mean, really, it's very nefarious. But this is,
you know, okay. They could have used the title All the King's Horses or All the King's Horses and All the King's Men. And we would still know what it's about. You know what I'm saying? There's so many parts of that Mother Goose's, you know, rhyme that immediately the audience knows who they're talking about.
I mean, my name is Humpty, you know, like, and that's it.
It goes like Dumpty. Yeah. Very, very, Humpty dances your chance to do the hump.
Do me, baby.
I do the hump. Do the hump. Hey, do the hump.
Did it, baby.
Yeah. Do the hump. The hump. I mean, yeah. So many things could have happened. It's so great. It's so great.
I know
great.
It. That's true.
Okay. Well, great, you guys. Let's start off with Gino and Jasmine.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So the way Jasmine says Coco is so weird. It's like she says Coco. It's like it's not quite a cuckoo or a cuck or a co.
It's definitely not a cuck. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, Gino's like, a cuck, so definitely it's not going to be Coco, you know?
Coco. Coco.
Yeah.
Come here, Coco.
Coco.
Yeah.
That dog is on the loose. I mean, now that we know, like, Madeleine and Luke, like, a white dog being bought by a man for a woman is now a thing. I didn't realize it. Now I understand that that's the whole thing. Like, you get a Hermes, you get a house, you get a white dog. It's a whole thing. So now I know what's on the list. But Jasmine has been letting her flag fly for the LGBTQI, all of it, since like we've been seeing it. She's very much like, I want to have threesomes. Coco is gay. Give me Nikki. You know, like she's like across the board, like my door is open and so is my dogs. We're having the thing. She's like, Coco has been on the prowl for men even more than me. And that's hard to believe.
Ooh. Ooh, I mean, what an interesting bit of tidbit to tell us, Gino. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. And the doctor said that he's gay. So, you know, me and Coco. But also the white dog, you're right. It is the bimbo foreign wife starter kit. You know what I mean? It's the white dog. It's the shitty ring. It's the
hard titties.
Yeah, it's the hard titties. It's the apartment, maybe month by month or all at once. We don't know. There are just certain things that you have to do. Give money for the lip. First, it's the lip injections and it's the hair extensions. But you don't know what order it is, but definitely a white dog.
It will always be of interest to me, again, because I've never dated anyone who's ever even given me the opportunity to buy a body part. That is just wild to me that, like, so many women are just like, I'm going to get with a man and he's going to just start buying me things from me, from my house, from my dog, from my body, you know, like.
You've talked about this a lot, so I have to ask the question.
Oh, God.
Are you a little jealous? Are you a little jealous, Chris? Are you a little jealous? Because you really hate Candace. You hate Brittany. You're just like.
No, I don't hate them. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no. That's how's coming off. Yeah, no, I don't hate them. So let me.
Okay, not hate. Not hate. Sorry.
I want someone to tell me where in the secret manuscripts lie that I, as a woman who did not have a good enough mom to teach me where in the manuscript they lie, that such a thing exists. Like, I just can't even imagine, like, no one, I just, because no one I've ever dated has ever been like, do you want a white dog? Do you want new breasts?
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. But there's so many men. There are so many men out there that just offer these things.
Yeah.
White dogs and hard titties. And I just can't even imagine that. How come I keep meeting men that just offer me dumb things like one drink?
Ooh, a word said in this country, yeah, for the state of the dating scene. Okay.
I am jealous or I'm envious. I want to know the ways. Mm-hmm. I'm like, tell me, not them. I don't want them to tell me, but I do feel like one of the listeners of the 2000 listeners we have, one of the 2000 has come across. I'm like, that person will be like, Chris, you know what? I'll just tell her. I'll like not gatekeep this. You know, like I'm like, what's being gatekeeped for me? And that's what I'm obsessed about is I feel like something is being kept from me and I feel like I should be shown
privy to ways. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I won't talk about it anymore because you're right. I obsessively talk about it. I know.
Okay. So we find out some very interesting and morose, sad news that her mother, has been diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, Gino's feeling a lot of sympathy for her in this moment, but then it becomes like I'll one up you. Not only is your mom lucky because they caught it early, but my mom actually passed away of cancer in the 70s. And I was like, oh, he was a child. He lost his mother very early.
Yeah. I mean, they showed two pictures. The first picture was like 1950s, just like taffeta gown. Like she's going, it's not sock hop era.
Satin trim.
But it's right after sock hop era. You know, it's bouffant hair. And then the second picture they showed, I'm like, is that the same woman? And because she has much different hair. And then we see Gino with hair. And the hair is the straightest, stickiest, straight bob cut, bowl cut,
bowliest.
I mean, who cut these bangs? They are so like his she hair did. Is flat ironed. It looks flat ironed to his head in this baby picture, and she looks so wildly different. I'm like, I don't understand if this is the same person. This is his aunt.
He looks like a beautiful Chinese baby. I'm not gonna yell at you. He looks like a beautiful little Chinese,
beautiful little
Chinese baby. Oh, just with that straight bang, like wrapped in like some beautiful red like cloth. Oh, so cute. Yeah, so that happens, and that part was like, okay. So then we get to another interesting part. This is to help us springboard into him showing us that he does have more money than he's saying, because he's like, you're sad, you want to go on vacation. Okay, yeah, let's go on vacation. And that's why she's always fighting with him about things when it comes to money.
How do you have that money to help her kids come here, but you have money to keep going on dumb vacations?
Yeah, so I think that's why she fights so hard, because he does actually have the money and he just doesn't want to give it to the things that he doesn't find valuable. And that's
like her kids.
Why she's frustrated. Yeah. Because she's like, I have nothing here. You are my bank. You are my ATM. If I had the money, I would pay for it. So Yeah. They go to Miami to meet with her friend Leandro, who we're supposed to remember because I don't remember that person at all.
I don't know.
So they go to Miami into this house that I guess he's renting, but it's very Miami and it's kind of kitschy and cute.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She's like, it looks like Panama, and it does. It has a beautiful pool. And they're excited about it. And they're very happy to see each other. It makes me happy to like see Jasmine have any sort of like, you know, Jasmine's better as a happy person than she is as a screaming person. We've known that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that Jasmine as a happy person has taken like quite a difference. Like Jasmine wanting like to play with, you know, like dildos on a bus in Panama is very different from the like pulled back clean girl aesthetic we've gotten with Jasmine with this season. So basically though,
going with that. And so it just, I mean, came out of left field. And dildo slapped me across the face.
Like they talk, they also talk about one thing is like having said that she's like a clean girl aesthetic. Now they definitely still talk about whether they want to have sex in a public place with a woman. So like, you know, she's like, she's letting her know that her kinks are happening. But basically in this rental house, they just have a bunch of cupcakes and he pours Corbel, you know, and they speak and then, you know, yeah, it's them just enjoying themselves, two friends
speaking in Spanish, and Jordan, Gio is just sitting there like,
I haven't had sex in public, but you know, I haven't had the opportunity to have sex in public with Jasmine yet.
And I'm like,
I did.
Can she not?
Well, I did it. I did it with someone else, but don't worry. I'm going to do it with you maybe at some point.
I just can't even imagine any kind of situation where he wouldn't be completely awkward. Like he would need to keep her safe and he can't keep himself safe. So I don't know how he's planning on doing that for Jasmine. All right. Ready to move on?
I certainly am.
All right. So next we've got Nicole and Mahmoud. Can't stand the way they say his name. And I cannot stand the way that Julian is just like in his space. I would have been okay if he had hit Julian in order to get Julian to understand that he needs to back the fuck up.
I'm actually wildly surprised that Mahmoud, maybe because Julian is so much bigger and white, that he wasn't more like, get the fuck away from me. Because yeah, Julian is like, dude, just, you don't even know what you're doing. You can't walk. Listen, I don't believe that you can even walk as an adult. So like, just sit. And Mahmoud's like, I want to walk. We walk and smoke. I'm a walker and a smoker. I pace, yeah, I smoke. I need to pace. That's me. And that's not you. You know, Julian is sweaty, by the way. Mm-hmm. Julian is, I feel like, drunk or sweaty. At one point, I'm like, are you crying, Julian? What is happening to you? You know, like, Mahmoud just wants to, like, again, pace and smoke. He, I can see, is literally trying to cross Los Feliz Boulevard. Los Feliz Boulevard, I know it very well. Like, he's trying to cross it. It's like, I know what it is. I'm like, oh my God, like, it is not at a light. I don't know if it's at Wayne, but it's not like at Hillhurst. It's not at Commonwealth. It's past that. It's past Commonwealth. There are a 2.2% people that might be listening to this will be like, Chris is right. Okay, God bless. But anyway, Julian's like, don't cross. And so then basically he's going to call an Uber to go to a hotel. Now, where he's trying to book a hotel, we don't know. In my mind, I'm hotels tonight? Where is he getting this hotel? Remember, Hotels Tonight was like an app you could use to get like a last minute late, cheap, usually 50% off reservation. But I don't know if he's like, I don't know if he's a Marriott Bonvoy account that he's been given. Like he obviously has an Uber account. Later on, we'll be confused about whose phone he had and how he had a working phone, you know, like so Julian's like, you could just walk to the end. Julian pretends that he's Mahmoud's like mom, soccer mom
handler.
He's like, not to where I can't see you, just go to where I can see you in the corner, but don't go beyond it. If you can't see me, I can't see you, you know. So like that is what Julian is doing, and Mahmoud is like about on his neck, whatever. So the producers finally help him get to a place. He leaves. And then Nicole calls him and she's like, what's your plan? you know? And it's such an obvious, I think, phone call from a producer being like, well, find out what's happening with him. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just her sitting in bed with her friends surrounding her. And she's like, I didn't mean for this to happen. And I'm kind of embarrassed that it did. But honestly, Mahmood was just making me so mad after everything that I've done for him and the 4 years that I have tried endlessly. And he just gives up on day two. And I'm like, you and your friends assaulted him, forced a hug on him, invaded him in his privacy. Then there's a friend right now accosting him by the rose bushes. Like, yeah. I don't know what he's done to you, but I feel like it can't be on par with what's happening right now. And again, this is their third or fourth episode, and we're still talking about the same like 10 hours.
That's wild. That part's wild.
It's just like, yeah. So we finally get the next day.
This is episode seven.
But it's like, did we spend 2 days at the water? I mean, at the pier? I don't know. It's like, it's just like so crazy. I just don't know.
Yes.
The first day was her going to the airport. First episode was her going to the airport to pick him up. And then second episode, he's mad at her outfit at the airport because of the belly strip. And then third episode, she brings him donuts in the morning. And then fourth episode, he doesn't go with the friends.
No, Santa Monica. Remember when he likes the hijab?
Oh, yeah. Santa Monica. I mean, it's just like literally it's day two still. It's the end of day two. Okay. Yeah. So the next morning, she calls him and she's in a beret. All of a sudden, she's in France. She is Eloise. Just change her name. It's like Nicole. Eloise Nicole Voulez-vous is her name.
Yeah.
Or Le Pew, you know?
She absolutely is Pepe Le Pewing it up. He, honey, is just on the streets of Hollywood. He's walking down Cole on Santa Monica Boulevard, down Cole Avenue. And let me tell you this, my loves, if you are on Patreon, you're looking at this picture I took because I'm a nightmare Los Angeles-based person. And in the foreground, you see a beige building with like some frames on it. And that beige building is called the Broadwater Theater in Hollywood, California. It's where I did my Lebanese debutante show. That's how much I know exactly the corner. Cole is where Brett Greenstein's office is. And he's a casting director in this lovely town that I've gone to over the years. And he booked me in Superstore in Keenan. I know the exact corner he's on. It's Cole in Santa Monica. And he is just aimlessly walking. I mean, aimlessly. He's very far from her house. Like where he is in her, not very, okay. He's
by foot.
Yeah, by foot, very far. Like, let's just say 2 miles, maybe 2.5 miles. I know that doesn't sound that long, but like it is. And I don't know how he got there. You know, I know he has Uber on his phone, but I can't even tell whose phone this is. So basically she's like, well, come back, get your stuff. And so he comes back to the house and she's like, well, I want to see if we're going to talk and be able to like, you know, bridge this or whatever. And he gets in and guess what? They don't bridge it. He's like, no, I want a divorce. So that's what I've been wanting it. I said it last time. She's like, well, great, go. So then he gets his like hard case and he just is like gone, leaves, you know? And she's like flabbergasted. Like she just seems so lost and she seems so, you know, like not able to understand how horrible his past 12 hours have been, you know, like it's as if I really does feel like she wanted to torment him because he had in her mind, he had tormented her so far in Egypt that it did feel like she wanted to give him a taste of the medicine that she had gotten. But at the same time, from what we saw, we never saw like the sister-in-law of hers or her brother-in-law like be like, you have to stay. No, don't do anything. Like if she wanted to leave, she could have left at any time. And she did threaten to leave all the time and she never did. Mm-hmm. You know, like it does feel different. It does feel different than what she did to him than what he did to her. Like it feels like he was just like, I can only be who I am. I don't know what you want from me. You found me in a fucking fabric store in the middle of Cairo. I don't know what you thought. I told you I was devoutly Muslim. You know, I live in the conservative part of a Egyptian society. I live in the conservative part of a city. So as a 40-year-old woman, what do you think? I don't live in the liberal part. If you move to Texas and you want to live in Austin, that's one thing. If you want to live in the fucking bobbity boo blobbity blops of Texas, you don't fucking complain that there's Trump people there. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you cannot go to the middle of like Trump country and complain that those people are Trump people. You have to assume they are. And what are you going to fucking do about it? Like, I'm like, so I don't get what you are for. She was old. She's not young. She wasn't his age. So I don't understand what she expected. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, she doesn't get it. So I also was annoyed with the way she tried to check him for his checkered flip-flops. She's like, that's what you wore? Like, you don't care. You do not care about this man. You let him leave your home. You told him to leave, in fact, and allowed your friend to handle most of it, like trying to get Julian to like wrangle him and be his keeper. And so she then is like, Mahmoud decided to spend $300 of my money on a hotel without asking me. And I was like, girl, how did you think he was going to pay for it? B, you guys are married. That's y'all's money. No, you're married. That's y'all's money. And if the shoe were on the other foot and you had his credit card on your phone and you wanted to go somewhere, you would have happily used his money, stating something, well, he kicked me out. So what else it was expected? Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, that's stupid. And then so now Mahmoud has left and he's like, I don't care. I'd have no money. I don't know where I am, but I'm getting back to Egypt. And I just wanted to be like, I don't think, Mahmoud, you actually understand what you're saying. You're not getting back to Egypt without any money. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you think you're just going to like California, walk down the street and go into like a fabric store and find work, or you're just going to like head west and find your people. Like, what? No. I'm sorry. This, unless the producers of TLC are actually going to help you, there's no way you're getting home without having some kind of plan. Even if you go to LAX, they will not let you on any planes.
I mean, this is like, you know, Fievel, honey. He's like an Arab Fievel. You just see him in the street, honey. Somewhere out there beneath the pale. Like, he, honey, is going to find his sister and his mom. He's getting back to his homeland. All the family's going to be together and he knows it. And he looks small. Yeah. He's a small little rough again, you know, on the streets, honey. You know, he probably has a cap. You know what I'm saying? He has those checkered. I don't know if the checkered flip-flops were his. When she asked about them, I'm like, are they hers? Are they his? You know, they were Van flip-flops and he did what he could. By the way, I mean, in the Arab world, they are not afraid of a slide, honey. They're not afraid of walking around all day long in a slide. You know what I'm saying? Like, people that are similarity in this situation, Kanye, Mahmoud, all day long in a slide. They don't care. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he was like, not a problem. What are you talking about? But yeah, I, by the way, think he will get back to Egypt. By the way, I think that he's going to get a WhatsApp message in 1 second with like some Egypt money, you know, like his brother will do it for him. Oh. But I don't, what is interesting is like, I always want to be like, but you do have Uber, but I don't know what phone you have. At one point she's like, do you have my phone? Like, did he have a SIM card problem or something, like that his phone couldn't work, or he had a Droid and he didn't have an iPhone when he got there? But yeah, like, I mean, this man needs to go back to Cairo immediately. And she needs, I mean, she needs to be on Bumble for like 5 months, you know, like she needs a good old fashioned, skinny legged, skinny jeaned East Side guy that'll be 100% okay with whatever she wants to do all the time. It's just like smaller than her, which is like hard to do, but she'll find him and he'll just say yes to whatever she wants. Like, that's what she needs. That's what she wants. She just wants like a guy that'll be like, sure, Nicole, and she can wear what she wants and wear her berets and live in a fantasy land. If she wants to host people, fine. And maybe he makes some money or does some cat memes that gives him some cash every now and then. And they're a happy life. But it's definitely not with him.
Yeah, it's definitely
one of those guys, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Pat, he definitely, she needs to be with someone that has cats. I have never seen a girl that needs more of a man with cats in her life than her. Like, she is a cat mama. If she doesn't have them, she needs a man that loves them. You know, she's a cat. She is a cat. You know what I'm saying? And I say this because I'm a puppy. I'm a dog. And I know this about me. It's why I need a man that would like dogs or don't have cats. Like, I can't have a man that has cats. I'm a dog.
This conversation took an interesting turn. I don't want a man with cats either. Yeah, I've been throwing around the idea of getting a cat because I was like, people were like, you should get a cat. You should get a cat. I don't like, I really should get a dog if I'm going to get anything, but I don't want to have to take care of all the things that a dog requires. And they're like, so you should get a cat. So I was like starting to send cat memes to a friend to be like, oh, okay, this is cute. And then like sending terrifying ones too. Of cats like on the counter, you know, cats like swatting you in your sleep, cats jumping on you and getting the zoomies at night. So I did that. And then I was like, yeah, I don't think I can have a cat. And the person responded to me with, oh no, I know you can't have a cat. And I was like, great. Thank you for knowing me. All right.
Yeah. You can't, you're not, I mean, I love you. You couldn't have the dog either. You're not like someone, I mean, you know, I know that about you too. Yeah.
So the next couple that we're going to talk about is Emily and Kobe. This was really short and it didn't go anywhere. I mean, they did at the end. They got into a cab, but otherwise, like, it just left stuff in the air. Okay. So Emily is upset because the purse Valerie would not let her speak. And so she gets up and she walks away. And then Kobe comes over to her, try to console her and get her to like calm down and come back and try to make amends. And she's like, no, I'm not going over there. They don't let me talk. And I don't like when people don't let me talk. And they're never going to think that we're good enough and I'm good enough for you and blah, 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 blah. So he like talks her down, brings her back to the couch. And then they bring it up again. They just like try to take off where they left off, mm-hmm. which was what caused her to walk away.
Yeah.
And so then she's like, listen, if you guys do not believe in our love, then maybe you shouldn't come to the wedding. And they are taken aback as though that idea never crossed their minds. And so finally, Kobe is like, and I say finally only because the editing has not let us see or hear what he said. If he had possibly been supporting her, saying stuff to support her, the last conversation, he's like, this is my wife, guys. I want everything to be okay. But if you don't accept my wife, then I'm going to go. And so they leave.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
They certainly do, but not before she brings her bag. Now remember, she is wearing a peplum top, and then she grabs her bag, and I have it here. It's a Louis Vuitton Neverfull. She brought this bag to a club where she's wearing all black, to a club in Cameroon. And I really want you to take that in because it's a ludicrously capacious bag. And you know that from Succession, it's far too large for a club. It's not black. It's not anything. The fact that she'd wear this travel fucking bag to the club, I was like, Emily, are you insane?
It's not secure. She is going to get pick a pocket. She just has her shit out. She's like, still from me, please.
I can't even deal that she brings this dumbass bag to the fucking club. Like, it's mm-hmm. the worst part of the episode for me. Mm-hmm. This is Emily, unforgivable. And I mean this, like, I love your little lisp. I really don't mind it. You know, I make fun of it, but I don't mind it. I really like Emily in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mind her like controlly bossiness. I love her hair. I think she's okay. But this bag is unforgivable that you'd bring this to a club, that you're wearing what you're wearing, and you this huge, Neverfull bag, an LV Neverfull. It is probably not even real, bitch, but you're going to bring it to a club. Are you insane? What? Who raised you? I mean, that's not it.
Well, let me say that I'm a mom. And when I was packing, I don't really think about things for me because I'm a mom. And so my kids, like if I was packing for Scarlett, she would have the perfect bag for this outfit. So,
bitch, you should have left this with all of the diapers and all of the extra passies home. And you bring yourself a little like clutch or something. I don't even, you do not. This is not a club bag. Not at all. Okay.
Well, listen, I understand that, but I'm a mom. And so there are just some things that mothers have to do and have to have. And so I'm sorry that you're...
Are you to put your tit in Kobe's mouth during this club for a little like extra drink, Penny? Because there are no babies here that you have to change. Why are you wearing this huge bag? You fucking heathen. You fucking peasant. Why are you wearing this huge ass bag to a club and you're wearing all
black and brown? Can I say something for myself? Can I say something for myself? Can I say something for myself? I'm a mom. Valerie at some point says, I'm an African man and I have friends to protect my interests. Or that's Kobe that says that. And I just like, I have friends to protect my interests. I was thinking to myself, like, not in the world you live in, Kobe. You don't live in this world anymore. You live in a different world where you have no friends to protect your interests. And even if they had found that Emily wasn't right for you and found her completely lacking, you have two kids with her. So honestly, there's no turning back. So I don't know what this conversation is even going. It's not like he can walk away. Okay.
He can't walk away. What he wants to do is jump in that bag and have her carry him out. Ooh-hoo. So yeah. So move on to Ashley and Manuel, honey. Ashley and Manuel.
Yes. Great. My favorite. This was kind of annoying. I don't like seeing them fight. I would rather see them have awkward exchanges or having sex. Like I would rather... other scenarios, but let me tell you about this Love Has Won black bitch with the laid edges. I said to myself, she looks far too good and put together to be that crazy. She started talking about your galactic, like alien, whatever. And I said, were you in whatever Springs, Kansas, where the worlds meet? Were you in that house? She had to have been in that house.
I know you dropped ahead, but I just want to tell you how much I love Leopold. Okay, I know you want to, but like we can't not say hello to Leopoldo. Okay?
Leopold looks like what Mario grew up to
yes.
be.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, so this is Manuel's uncle who varies very Catholic, very Catholic man, a very handlebar mustached man. I mean, you know, very Catholic, very handlebar mustache. I loved him so much. He was so cute. He did the best he could. Okay. And Manuel, this is a scene. Manuel at this restaurant can't stop eating everyone's food. He is food. Honey, he's like, what's that? Is that done? Honey, whatever this Ecuadorian food is, he's like, oh my, unhinge his jaw and put it all in. Can I get three more? You know, so then, yes, then we go to Madame X's in New York and she meets up with her friend who, as you said, is Erin, and she's gorgeous, just what? I mean, very pretty woman. I mean, just like, she's like, like stunningly gorgeous. We are like, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, like I forget what it's like to be like, oh, normal person. Oh, are you a model, an actor?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I was like, yeah, she got casted as her kooky friend and then they just like did not come to set. They expected her to bring her own clothes to set and she did. But none of those clothes mirrored the person she was cast as. So it was just like really interesting. Wait, before we move on to that though, like the conversation at lunch, he put so much pressure on Ashley to not talk about her religion or not talk about her spirituality. And that is the first thing the uncle brings up. And so at that point, I feel like it's not her fault. And she tried to be like, yeah, but then she couldn't just say, I believe in God, period. She had to say, I believe in God and other deities. It's like,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, the plural was the problem, you know, like she could just cut it off. Like, I believe in God.
Yes.
But yeah, like she was just like, he was just like, the minute that he was like, well, you know, I'm so happy you are married because when you are married, you are one. Remember, you came from his rib, Adam's rib. And I was like, oh God, Adam's rib, honey. She's not gonna like this yeah. Adam's rib shit. Yeah. And when that happened, you see her face and she's like, Adam's rib? You know, like she's just like, you know, she's not, she, yeah, we all know it. I have lived a life as a Catholic, so I know what it's like to just have something go in one ear and out the other. Now, I am okay with this. Like, maybe I understand. It feels like Ashley, it feels like Emily were not, did not grow up in a world where they had to let one thing happen here and not react and go out that ear. But I did. So now these women are living a life where like, I cannot listen. If I'm in Africa and men start talking to me, I can't help myself. And it's like,
why?
I can.
Yeah.
I very much can. I like the same thing as the Trump country. To me, it's like, I have no problem knowing that if I go into a situation with people are all one thing, that they are this thing for this reason that I can understand because of either historically or where I am or whatever it is, that I will not live in that world, be there so temporarily that my peace is only because I don't react and have to deal with things. I just am in that space. I move through it like the weather, like clouds in the sky. Like I'm the cloud in the sky. The space exists. I know I'm not going to be there for long. So why do anything? I'm about to be blown out and I'm gone. You know, like that's how I feel. But like, here we are.
What a good way, I think, to think about getting out of these situations where you don't have to react, even though you disagree. So Erin is the friend with her galactic beings.
She speaks light language.
She's
light
language. And then she's like, Kurukarai, Rangin the Singurida or Kiru, Klakali, Murubain, Sarabara, Gunogori. And then, I mean, what does Manuel think is happening? Does Manuel think that he's hearing like a type of English, or is he just like completely like, what is he
in the library right now? And that guy's like, ask for a Diet Coke in English. Is it the same thing that he's hearing or yeah? She's also doing hand things. She's like,
Yeah. And I'm like, Ashley, I could see you being spiritual, but this, girl, you crazy.
This light language that she speaks is wild. And I also want to know, all right, bitch, because I looked it up and light language is a thing. Now, she's not the only one that does the galactic alien light language. And so,
yeah, but she's black, Chris. Like, she's black. It is very uncharacteristic. Like, this is like a wild, she is black. And not only is she black, she's not weird. You know what I mean? Like, she's not gorgeous. Like weird black. She's like beautiful, middle of the road, like regular degs. A good laid wig, like a Fashion Nova fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, she is run of the mill baddie, you know? And it's just so weird.
I agree. But what I want to know is if we can Google such a thing as light language and more than one speaks it, then what I want to know is let's fucking isolate what that girl says and then bring me to one other person. Thank you, God. And be like, all right, well, what'd she just say? You can hear it. What does bitch just say? Did she just say that you guys have to like communicate more and you don't trust this one and this one doesn't trust that one? You got to be on the same page because I mean, I just want to, because this she really does. I mean, go into another tongue, And I will say that if it's fake and I will say that it's practiced, this is not her first rodeo.
Maybe it's like, maybe it's like Klingon, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where people can actually learn to speak it outside of.
Is light language a thing? Yeah. You can, yes.
Yeah. So at the end, they get into an argument about trust. He says that she doesn't trust him like he trusts her, and that he can't go anywhere because she always either wants to know or wants to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. Now, the fact is that he's like, I can't go anywhere. I mean, like, you can't go anywhere, boo, because you haven't learned English yet. That's the main reason why you can't go anywhere. So she's
probably no money to move.
She's probably really scared that you're going to leave the house and get lost and then not be able to speak to anybody in Rochester to figure out your way back home. But she gets upset and cries and is like, "You're kidding me, Manuel. I can't believe you think that I'm like that." And it ends on her being pissed at him and him getting up and walking away. Okay.
He says he's in jail. I mean, yeah, it felt like a big change immediately. It felt like a big shift. I mean, it did feel a little interestingly, if not suspiciously, a big shift suddenly at this Madame X, which, by the way, I feel like I've passed by Madame X in New York, this red lit bar. Have you ever seen it before?
No. Okay. I haven't been to New York in a long time. So, you know, things can go up and down. Establishments can go up and then be closed in like a year. Okay. Last couple is, and boring, because I don't really understand what's going on. It's Patrick and Thais. The best part about this is Thais's facial expression. She has no problem being like, "Huh?" Hmm? And all while the person is either looking at her or she's behind the person or in profile, like she does it very dangerously close to their face so that they are aware that she finds what they've said to be very stupid. And that baby looks like Patrick.
That baby looks like Patrick. And yeah, her English has gone obviously so amazingly exponentially like advanced since we last saw her. But from the first season of her and this season, one of my favorite things about her is that she will make a noise when she is annoyed, frustrated. She thinks something's dumb and something is not appeasing to her. She'll be like, "Wah! Wah! Wah!" Like it is like this. It is a long cry of utter disenchantment that like sounds specifically her and upset. And I love it. And she's not stopped it. So thank God. So yeah. Basically what their thing is that Patrick has a dad named Jose. LOL.
Jose.
Okay. And Jose has a building of units that Patrick decided to rent one from, A, for the benefit of giving his dad money and also to have a space there. So because of that, because he's a son, unfortunately, he doesn't get the good grace of just being a renter. Because when you are a renter of a person that owns a building, you don't have to really do anything when it comes to the upkeep of that. Like, you tell that person if something's wrong and they either fix it or not, and you can sue them if they don't fix it right. You know, whatever, like that's what pretty much it is or whatever, God bless. And so, but unfortunately we're in a different time and place. And so he's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here, son. That like usually helps me with things. You're, you know, like I want you to paint the place." And I, you know, like what's weird about this is definitely Patrick has like a whole ass bandaged knee and a brand new baby and a wife there. And Jose does not have the tact to, I think, see his son as someone who isn't there for his benefit. And it's sad, you know, like in this moment, you want him to be like, "Oh, I can see that you have a knee issue. And I can see that you're here with a brand new baby and your wife. And maybe this is a little taxing on you." But what we see is then a Jose kind of coming in jovial, and whether it feels like he's choosing to ignore these kind of obvious things so that he is benefited by having what he wants to have happen, you know?
Yes. It's very interesting that Patrick would put himself out there in order to support his dad when we just found out that the dad actually married his mom. And so at some point that was Johnny Spackle's stepfather, and he divorced the mom when Patrick was 7 years old. And then I guess went off and lived his life, mm-hmm. leaving Patrick and the mom and the 17 kids like high and dry. And so then Patrick had a rough childhood after that. And then like a rough situation with his father, but now him and his father have, you know, kind of reconnected. And a part of their reconnection has to do with Patrick doing manual labor for a space that he rents and possibly the ranch. Now, Patrick volunteers for that. But it seems weird that Patrick is so like kind of not hell bent, but like really wants to insert himself in his father's life and give his father things. And he's like, you don't understand, my dad, he's not rich. And I'm like, well, he's better off than most, it feels. But also, like, that's not your problem. Like, that man did not raise you for, you know, I don't think that you should feel indebted or like you owe him anything at all. But, it, you know, that's something within Patrick. And Thais is trying to get him to understand that. He's like, your dad just uses you, but, you know, Patrick won't hear it. And there's nothing that she can do. But I mean, she's got to put her foot down about the paint because she's got a baby who's less than a year old, and that baby can't be inhaling paint fumes.
I was going to say that you can't have like a baby. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you have divorced parents, you as the child, you know what you know intrinsically. You know two things. Well, you know what parent gives you the most love. Now, it gets messy if you are with the parent that's the most responsible who cannot give you love because they are in their own situation. And then you have the other parent who has no responsibility but is the fun time parent. That's one situation. But the other situation is that you have a parent who's responsible and who is there for you all the time, who you'll go to when you need something, and the parent who like wasn't able to give you that. I don't know what Patrick's dad did for them while they moved across the country, and like what child support or what he felt like his dad had to deal with in relationship to his mom that makes Patrick feel indebted to him and or feel like he should do something for him. Because Patrick very much is like, I like helping all my family, you know, like I, you know, obviously Johnny slept on our couch for 4 years, you know, like, you know, I if it's a male in our family, I'm for it. You know, like, I don't know what Patrick's deal is, but yeah, like it is interesting. And it's also very, it makes you want to like have a scene between Patrick and Thais's dad, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very different men. And I want to see them like interact. Like, I want to see what they're like if they had to sit down and talk to each other and like, you know, in literally the same language. So it's like the whole time that he's calling himself little bastard and all that stuff, I want to be like, okay, well, great. Tell his dad.
Yeah.
You know,
let's see what that now. Thais's dad is so fine. He's so handsome.
He's so, yeah, I know. He's so young. He's so fine.
God, he's so beautiful. And I'm like, whew, good for her.
I want to say one thing. One time Patrick is like at the very end when like, you know, Jose leaves, Patrick is like holding his baby and the baby is barely talking, barely fussing. He's like, oh my God, the baby is so fussy. I've never seen her like this. And I was like, she was like, meh.
No, it's because she's stretched
like
out.
Tired, you know, she's just like hungry and tired. I'm like, what do you mean you've never, she's not, is this the worst she's been? Oh my God, what an angel baby you have. Like, yeah. This is the worst. She was just basically like, ma, you know, she was barely doing anything. I was like, Patrick, Jesus.
She stretched out her body in a way to where I feel like he thought he was going to drop her. And so that's why he was like, come get this hot potato. I can't wrangle her. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's like, I feel like most babies, when they get fussy and they have that mobility that she has at her age to be able to like physically demand her release. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. And that's exactly what was going on. I'm like, yeah, I've had plenty of babies like freak out and like stretch out. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I get that you want to go, but you're going to fall. That's not good. But all right, you guys. So wow, that was the end of the episode. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. But if you want to do more than listen and you want to see the visuals of what you're listening to, you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties. And it's $10 a month. It's for exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month. If you're interested in that, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties. But if you can't do that, Chris will tell you a couple of free options and other ways you can support us. Chris?
You can support us on social media. And just by the way, if this is your first episode, you're like, well, these bitches are talking about fucking Alexi and what's her face and fucking taco pasta. We don't talk about those people. So anyway, God bless. You can follow us at DocuSweeties on Instagram, at DocuSweeties on TikTok, at DocuSweeties1 on X. And we have a private Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. You also can give us 5 stars and like the funniest, best fucking review ever of your life. Or just like, you just like, don't do eagles. And if you just want to have chat AI do it for you, that's you. But you also can just like, you know, take a moment to just like write a poem or just really talk about your nuanced specific love of us. You do you. But listen, We appreciate you and any sort of like attention and or time you give us. Thank you so much. We have a lot more to give you, including Love in Paradise and Love After Lockup and whatever dumb thing you want us to watch on a bingeable docuseries on a streaming situation. You get at us and you tell us what you're watching and we will give it to you. Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. All right. Bye.